Hi, Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us today for New Life Live.
I really appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi there, Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And you, if you're going to call us, 1-800-229-3000.
Hello, oh, please, Mylon. Oh, please,
hello,
oh, please call us.
Yeah.
Hi, Steve.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm doing well.
Good. Well,
how are we doing in our journey of
a few weeks
support?
Left.
Some money is coming in, and we appreciate that. We've got a long way to go, and we've got 4 days to do it in. And what we're talking about is this notice that we're either going to come up with $200,000 or we're going to have our stations begin to be canceled one by one, Pittsburgh being the first one. And we don't want that. Now, we're willing to go that direction if, because of a lack of response, God is saying to us, it's over, or it's time to be over. But hopefully not.
Well, you know, the owner of the stations has been granted a lot of grace in the past, you know.
Yes, they've certainly.
They've been gracious. But really, they've hit a wall, apparently, where they're
times
saying,
are tough all the way around.
Times are tough on all sides of the fence. And so they're saying, no, no more. We can't do it. So really what we need is to be able to turn that nut every month to stay on these major stations throughout the United States is a big nut.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to turn. And if, you know, I think everybody has had that experience in their own homes. And they have to ask the same question. What do I let go of? Do I possibly sell the house? Do I downsize?
Right.
And we're asking the same question, you know. And if God makes it clear that, you know, we can't turn that nut every month, maybe there's something different we need to be doing. And that's what I'm hearing from you. That's probably the most unique that I've heard. The unique change that I've heard in you. This is new to say, God, what do you want?
And it really is. I mean, I think it sounds ridiculous. I'm 58 years old, and I've always thought what I was doing was me trying to do what God wanted me to do. But maybe not. So I'm just saying, God, what is it? I know you want us to glorify you every day, but what is it that you want us to do with this ministry? You tell us. And if it's that we're suffering the consequence of something I've missed, some area that we didn't develop in or something, then we'll endure the consequences of that and let somebody else take our place here, if that's the way it is. Boy, I'll tell you, I would be one sad puppy. But
we all would.
Yeah, yeah. So right now we're just saying, let's see what happens. Let's see if people can come along and keep us on the air or not. And that will be, well, it's our answer, because if that doesn't happen, then we don't have a choice. Things start to get really, really bare around here. So, all right, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn here. Jill wrote The Secrets Women Keep. Mylon wrote How We Love. And
Steve wrote many, many, many books.
I wrote a few books.
And
so many of them.
How many of them came out this year?
Six
books came out this year.
It's ridiculous. I'm so sorry. But some publishers went fast, some slow. Anyway, we'll be back right after this.
Mm-hmm. You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk with Tom from listening on KGFT, Colorado Springs. Hello, Tom. Welcome. Tom?
Hello. Hello,
hi.
I'm here.
Hi. How could we help you today?
Well, I just want to give a little quick synopsis of some of the battles I'm enduring. They've got a pending bankruptcy I'm filing jointly with my wife, and then I've learned recently we're getting a divorce. She's filed for divorce, and in doing that filing, I've also received a restraining order against me because I'm trying to get too many things accomplished, probably, and controlling things and not giving it up to God. In addition to that, I've had unemployment issues for the last 6 months, and I think I'm going to re-engage employment here shortly, but it's just been a little bit of a trick as to where do I go next? How do I make this a journey that I truly can release this as fresh as it is? It's really tricky and hard and difficult because I still like, love, and respect this woman, and I'm not getting that opportunity. We've been together 6 years, married for just about 5. We don't have any children, but we've done a lot in the last 2 years because we split up and separated in latter part of 2009 and started our work through our 12-step program. She's in AA and I've been in Al-Anon.
All right, but let me ask you this. How is it that she was able to get a restraining order against you? What is that about? Now, that's not just about control. That's pretty serious.
Yeah, and I'm reading the order and I'm looking at it. It's more just about stalking, and it's me reaching out in those early few days where she left and I had no communication, and we had started the process of the bankruptcy, and I guess I lost control and I lost my grip, perhaps, to the point where I appeared to be, you know, a nut, chaotic.
Okay. So what's your question for us then? I'm so sorry what you're going through. I mean, it just sounds like everything's caving in on you.
Yeah, it's really become much. I mean, through the last 2 years, we've worked through a number of things with her alcoholism and her dependency upon tobacco and the antidepressants she's been on for life. She's been diagnosed as a bipolar. I don't know if it's one or two. I can't remember, but she's currently off all of that, and I'm wondering if some of this is kind of a manic phase. Is she that vacillator and me being the, I guess I'm the avoider, and I've been so caught up in trying to procure employment again that I've lost probably control. I haven't been
You've said that.
I'm supposed to be.
Okay, what is the question for us then?
Where do I go? What do I do? Do I just say this woman wants out? I have to just let it go, be dead. I'm currently in the house, and she won't move back home because I'm here, and she feels threatened. And I don't know if that's reality or if it's just a tact on her part to get this temporary order to become a permanent one to really just move me on down the road. So
what really is the question then? How do you think we could help you?
I'm trying to look for someone in your field and your expertise, since you talk to so many people, to tell me, Tom, wake up. This woman doesn't want you. You have to realize that and let it go, and the marriage is over. You give it to God, and it'll come out as it comes out. Or do I continue to try to ask the question and say, can we go to Christian counseling? Can we work back through our
issues. Your assumption of what we would say isn't what we're going to say. Okay.
Yeah, I believe that.
The assumption is wrong because the assumption has to do with the relationship rather than the person we're talking to. And all we've got to work with is you, and you need support going through this and not having a support group to help you through unemployment, bankruptcy, divorce. You need some men in your life, my friend.
I do. I go to Bible study on Tuesday mornings at my worship center. I got a Thursday night men's group that I work through and have for the last few
years. All right, good. That's
and
good.
I'm in communication with them.
Okay, so they know your situation. They're sharing with you.
Yes, sir. They know absolutely. I'm
okay,
open,
good.
Honest, and truthful to them. And
okay. All right. So you probably now need to do something that would say to your wife, he really is serious about changing. And so maybe it's a counselor. Maybe it's Celebrate Recovery. Maybe it's an anger management program. I don't know. But it seems like to me you have to step it up a little bit to show her you're going to be a different man. Now, is that fair? No. But you have to do what you need to do to get her to trust you again. Jill, you have a thought.
Well, Tom, I also think it's highly plausible what you said about her bipolar disorder. If she's gone completely off her meds and she is in a manic phase, I mean, I've seen this in people where it's like they become a different person and they go off and they feel persecuted. And they do all kinds of really devastating things and later barely remember any of it.
What's the time frame for that? She's been off probably 90-plus days now to where we've tried to go cold turkey. For that phenomena, I guess, to start to show itself on the surface.
Right. Well, I would say that you're there or getting close in terms of as the meds leave her system, then the disorder, you know, becomes more full-blown. But especially in a manic phase, they don't want their meds. And so if all of this has been happening kind of since she's gone off her meds, or if it was brewing, I mean, I hear there's lots of issues. If it was brewing and then she's gone off her meds and this has pushed her into more extreme behavior, I would say that this, there's a strong chance that this is a result of this manic phase that she's in, and if she weren't in it, she might not make these same choices.
Jill, what are your thoughts about a person going off of a drug, cold turkey, prescribed by a doctor?
No, it's
that sounds
not
like
good.
A person
it's
trying to go cold turkey off of alcohol. That's different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that is
the dosage
dangerous
was
at the
so
very
high
least.
That it was causing weight gain and hair to fall out, and it was making her just a zombie. They were having to counteract it to give her something to sleep and rest at night. So,
we
felt like, good gosh, we need to just kill this and stop it. So
obviously what she was doing wasn't working, and perhaps she was over-medicated or she had the wrong medication. Mm-hmm. But going off cold turkey is a really extreme reaction. You're right, Mylon. It's really extreme. And It's obviously had a huge impact. So, is she working with a psychiatrist? Is she willing to go? Do you have even any say-so in that?
Today I don't have any say-so.
Okay.
In that,
no. You know what? I would check with an organization like NAMI, National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, and get information. They have a lot of information on bipolar disorder. And they also have groups for family members of someone who's got bipolar to help you understand it. And also they have resources for intervening. But it may be that you have to wait till it passes before you can intervene. And she'll experience some of her own consequences as a result.
You know, Tom, I also see a lot of people who, since you mentioned it, who are vacillators, who have a lot of tendencies toward being really, really on, engaged, sort of very up and euphoric about a relationship, and then they do a lot of good-bad splits, and they go to all bad, and they have and this is what we would call a mood disorder, which is where they go to an all-bad phase, and when you're in an all-bad phase, all of a sudden, I need a restraining order against you.
Yeah, it seems and pretty extreme.
It does seem extreme.
We've been managing mood swings throughout the relationship.
Right. And so one of the characteristics of a vacillator or someone with some borderline personality disorder traits and characteristics is that they have very broad mood swings and they have mood stability issues. They can't stay stable. And if she's an alcoholic, that means that she's probably been trying to medicate and self-regulate and self-medicate some of these mood instabilities. And so really, it's very important if you want to help your wife to get a good...
Well, we've both been sober for 2 years, so is that still addiction still there?
Well, is she going to meetings?
What I'm trying to say here is...
Actively, yeah. She's got sponsees.
Okay. What I'm trying to say here is it's really important to get the correct diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get you know, a lot of people, bipolar, I think, is overdiagnosed at times.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Yeah, I've read that.
And so if you find the right... Honestly, you find the right diagnosis, and she's on the right medication,
mm-hmm.
she could become a different woman, okay, because it helps to bring her down into a bandwidth that's very livable and reasonable. But if she's misdiagnosed, then she could be on the wrong medication, which is throwing a monkey wrench into the whole relationship, and that's why I would say it's very important to get a reassessment here
mm-hmm.
before she does anything final with respect to a divorce.
And so if you aren't able to have access to her, is there anybody, is there any family member or anyone that she would listen to?
Not on my side, perhaps on her sister's side. But I would say at this time, no, there may be someone in her, you know, Serenity sister sobriety group that might be able to get mm-hmm. there eventually after the manic phase.
How chaotic was her childhood, Tom?
It was controlling due to religion, and she doesn't have good, wonderful, fond memories about it. And there's a traumatic car injury at 17 where she was pregnant and she's broken her pelvis, and then she's been unable to have more than one child because of that fracture.
Mm.
And it's managed to become an issue as well. So I'd say there are issues unresolved with her mother and all of the control in the upbringing for all of the children in the family, all five of them. So,
well, anything else we want to help him with? I mean, I don't know that we've given him a 1, 2, 3.
I knew it wasn't a 1, 2, 3.
When you ask me what question, it's like, well, it's a scenario. And my question to me is, mm-hmm. do I just put my hands up, give this to God, and I move out of the house and I move on with my life and I let this woman figure out this herself with the aid in God, because she does have a spiritual connection
mm-hmm.
with God, and she's there. But at times,
Tom,
she feels like I'm the glue on her shoe.
So Tom,
on her shoe.
I think, you know, it sounds like you do have some support. You get as much support as you need. You do everything that you can possibly do, but you have people help you discern what is yours to do and what is yours not to do.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been given.
Right.
And Tom, look at you. What have you done? How do you think you've attributed? And you've got great positive qualities. Go forth. And
no controlling, well, no pushing.
Right, right. But, you know...
I know. Yeah.
It's not about, well, just move on and throw your hands up. No, I think you won't feel like you can move on until you've done all that you can do. But don't do more than you can do.
See, for instance, if you both said, I love you, I still mm-hmm. want you, and let's each go for a new evaluation of, you know, our emotional health. And what if we did not have the right diagnosis? What if I was on the wrong medication and it mm-hmm. was overly medicated and I'm weight gaining and my hair's falling out? You know, there's something wrong with this whole picture.
Right. Who
and
wants
so,
that?
So instead of a divorce, could we please slow the process down, maybe take a cooling off period, and then could we each get ourselves reevaluated? Because alcoholics typically do this. They're all or nothing. They're mm-hmm. into something all or nothing. And it's, you know, they do radical, abrupt changes mm-hmm. to themselves, you know. And so it could have been very damaging for her to go cold turkey off of something. It could throw her whole system into a spin. And maybe that's part of what. And then, of course, if you're an avoider, or a pleaser, her going into a spin is going to throw you in an emotional spin, and so you're trying to slow her down. All of a sudden, you look like a stalker.
In the meantime,
yeah,
because you may not be able to have input into her life, if you would do something that would show her you don't think it's all about her medication and you don't think it's all about her wrong diagnosis, but you have something that you need to work on, it might motivate her to take a second look. And then you guys could sit down and get evaluated for the right diagnosis and the right medication. I mean, if she's on medication, her hair's falling out, she's gaining weight and all of that, it's obviously a medication problem. And without it, it's even a worse medication problem. So, but I want to see you be able to get her attention with changes you're making. I hope that something we've said is helpful. I'll send you Walking Into Walls. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Please help us. If God is leading you, please help us stay on the air. And you do that by calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and supporting us with a gift, or you go to newlife.com. Maybe you're a member of Club New Life and you could help us. Maybe there was going to be a year-end gift and you could make that year-end gift now. It would really make all the difference in the world for us. Let's talk to Brenda from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. I would just like to say that all of you have been are like a just like a lighthouse in a sea of distress. Mm. The people that call in, you have such great compassion, and you give them a chance to verbalize and articulate what they're going through. And I was born again in July of 1994. I don't know how many years you've been on the air, but I know I've listened for many, many years.
Mm. Yes,
and I would
like to
give a gift at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda.
Appreciate it.
So much.
That's very nice.
You're welcome. I just love to listen to your program, and only Christian counseling, truth, can really help a person.
Yeah.
Secular counseling, been there, done that. Before I was saved, they could not help me at all.
Mm.
No way. You know, no pill, no doctor can take away guilt.
Sure, sure.
And so
good point.
Only a Christian psychiatrist or psychologist can really help a person ultimately. So So I thank you so much for your program.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brenda.
Now, how could we help you?
Well, up until now, I have had no problems. And now I have a very big one. Recently, my son, my 38-year-old son, my only child, revealed to me that he is gay. Hmm. I have never, ever dreamed, never, nothing ever gave me the thought that he was. Nothing ever at any time, his father and I. Hmm. Now, his father and I divorced when he was 18 years old.
Okay.
He's been living with a fellow for 14 years, and this guy has spoken to me about the Lord, you know, since I've known him.
Mm-hmm.
So I never dreamed that they were anything but brothers. They were born the same year, the same day. They had the same focus. They're both like counselors for drug and alcohol addiction for young people. And they help young people and, you know, reparent parents that have no control over their children. I mean, they're wonderful. This is such a shock to me. I just cannot believe it.
Hmm. That must be.
Wow, yeah.
What does he want from you in telling you this?
I suppose he wants me to believe. I think he wants me to believe that this is fine. He says he felt this way since he was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he even gave me this music, you know, with Lady Gaga on there, the singing, "I Was Born This Way."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I before he even told me this, and I guess that he was trying to tell me this through this song.
Yeah.
And then also, I noticed a couple weeks before, prior to him telling me this, he was reading a letter in front of his grandmother and I about a young person who killed themselves, and they were gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they were bullied or something, you know?
Yeah.
And he had such emotion when he was reading this, you'd thought it was happening to him.
Yeah, so he was, yeah, he was kind of preparing you a little bit there.
Evidently.
Yeah. Okay, so what is the question for us?
The question is, how should I treat them at this time? I mean, I felt as though I should go to this fella and confront him and say, how could you have led me to believe you were a Christian all these years and deceived me like this?
I wouldn't do that.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think you ought to just stick with dealing with your son.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you say when he told you?
Well, believe it or not, it was in the car. We were going to the shore for the day or overnight. He has a place down the shore. And I had such tremendous calm. It had to be the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Just total poise, total calmness. And the Holy Spirit gave me the words because I didn't have that wisdom. I even can't even remember what I said now, but I did say that God loved him and I loved him. And that God wants what's best for him. And but if I love you, I will also tell you the truth, that I don't fear you disliking me or hating me, because love, it's more important to love and be truthful than to pretend. Because to him, truth is hierarchy for him. I mean, it's the highest thing for him, truth in anything.
Yeah.
So I said, and do you know, the very next morning, this is a God thing, I know this, the very next morning, he turned on the television, and I had the remote, he was in the bathroom just a few feet around the corner, I changed the channel, and there were these Christian, it was a Christian program, and this woman is saying, and the homosexual will say, "I was born this way," the very words my son used the night before,
mm-hmm.
And my son heard it. He comes out of the bathroom, he's bantering with the TV. They don't know what they're talking about, that he's going on and on and on. And I didn't say anything. But, you know, I know God gave me the calm, the peace, the ability to talk with him. But now I don't know how to treat them and what I should do now.
Okay. So you haven't had a conversation with him since where you said, "I'm really shocked"?
This is 2 weeks ago now, and he hasn't called me.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll give you some help right after this. I'm really glad that you called. Unexpected revelations like this can be devastating to a mom or a dad. And I'll tell you, it's one of the toughest things to deal with, and we certainly dealt with it in my family. So we'll provide some help right after this. You're listening to or watching New Life Live. We'll be back in just a minute.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back. We're talking with Brenda, whose 38-year-old son revealed to her that she was gay. We've talked about this at the break. Mylon, you want to start off the discussion here?
Brenda, you said that you came to know Christ a few years ago.
In 1994, yes.
And does your son profess to know Christ and need a Savior? Does he profess that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, someone that I did meet after I was saved, supposedly led him to the Lord, and they even sent me a letter, but I saw no evidence,
right.
I mean, in that I didn't hear him speak about, you know, I don't think it was real.
Sure. And, you know, 1 John says that if we do truly have a saving relationship with Christ, there will be change and transformation in our lives. That we will first truly recognize that our salvation has procured safety for us and a refuge. But secondly, there will be an aliveness in terms of a desire to be responsive to my Creator. Now, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, so that's the first thing, place you really need to develop a relationship with your son, is that he could come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Everybody that funnels through the cross has propensities of all sorts. You know, 1 Corinthians says, do you not know that idol worshippers, prostitutes, adulterers, drunkards, abusers, swindlers, effeminate, homosexuals shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were set apart. And then he says on in the end of chapter 6 to run from sexual immorality. So whether I happen to have propensities toward same-sex attraction or propensities toward opposite-sex attraction, I don't have permission to behave on what my body wants to do. I have to limit. If Christ is my Lord and I bend the knee to my Lord, I have to say no. I have to say no to being a thief there, to being a drunkard, to being a swindler. I have to say no. I'm going to bring those things to the Lord. So even though I might have propensities, I need to, if Christ is my Lord, to say no to whatever it is would be my particular propensity.
I did use that verse about neither fornicators, idolaters, you know, I did mention that verse to him because I proceeded to tell him my testimony again in the car, you know, and I said, and I know the Lord gave me everything I needed to say. If I may interject, after I came back from the shore, my husband and I found a video called It's Not Gay, and former homosexuals and lesbians, not Christian, this was just, you know, non-Christian, secular tape, all of them talking about their former life and saying they were not born this way, and if you show me the data, I will eat it. That's what they said. Mm-hmm. I took that video. I also taped off of your radio program for an entire hour. It must have been either last Friday or the Friday before, about homosexuality from a Christian perspective. I took both that tape and the video, put them in a bag, and hung them on the doorknob of his house because he wasn't home. Well, I got a call, and I wasn't here. It was on the answering machine. I don't appreciate, and Kevin doesn't appreciate either, what you left on our on the door. And there's nothing that has to be cured, and then, of course, the tape cut off. But then he didn't call back. So,
so, no, so then the answer is he doesn't want to listen to you, Brenda.
Okay.
And you're going to have to then accept that, that he doesn't want to listen to you. What were you going to say,
well,
Jill?
Well, I think, Brenda, first of all, you know, it's so devastating to hear that. And here he's, you know, kept it from you all these years. I think the first thing is to move towards a place of trying to understand. And, you know, it sounds like you have been sharing with him what you think about that. And that's definitely important so that he knows where you stand on this issue. But then to say, okay, I want to understand how you drew these conclusions. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to try to persuade you or change your mind. I really just want to hear your thoughts and your thinking so I can kind of know more about your journey because somehow I've missed something along the way. And as your mom and you being my only child, you know, I feel some sense of responsibility in what's happened to you in your life and would really like to understand that more. And so you start in that place of kind of hearing his heart and hearing what he's gone through because he's kept this life very separate from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then in once there is understanding and you have heard him, I think then you can move into a place of, you know, okay, I've been really trying to understand. Can we dialogue about this? Are you open to hearing differing points of view on this? And could we engage from time to time in dialogue?
Okay. I would say this, too. I'm convinced that he knows how you feel about the homosexual life that he's living, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he knows what you feel about homosexuality.
Yeah.
So you don't need to try to convince him. It is impossible for you to convince him of anything.
Yes, you're right.
So, like Jill is saying, you move from, okay, here are my views, to, oh, help me understand you.
Right.
Help me understand why
I
you
did,
say...
I did that somewhat
okay,
in
but,
the car.
All right, but then you left... You know, you left the stuff on the doorstep and things like that, which, you know, was normal and common. But I'm just saying, don't do that anymore.
No, I'm not.
And to say, what happened at five? Why did he
mm-hmm.
pick five?
Yeah.
That he's been this way ever since he was five. Do you know of something that happened when he was five?
No.
I would ask him about five. Why do you say five?
Yes, that is a very good question.
Okay, and then I would try to, I would explore with him different ways that he has felt rejected in his life.
Yes.
Are you aware of him being rejected through his life at all?
I think when he was young, when he was in elementary school, he was teased.
For what?
I think for his clothing, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So you see...
Silly things.
All right, mm-hmm. this really goes with my theory that he has not been gay since he was five. He's been different since he was five, and he's been rejected for being different since he was five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he feels rejection mm-hmm. in a heterosexual world, and then he feels total acceptance in a different world where there are many people that are different from others. It's just something I hear over and over mm-hmm. again. He was teased for what he wore. How sad is that?
And he didn't, I don't think he participated, in sports. And yeah. his father was a very sports-oriented.
And so what did his father say to him about sports?
Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think he tried to play baseball with him, and that didn't work out. And I don't know. But I know my son did, in the car as he was driving, he said he had abandonment issues. And then he told me about a relationship he had prior to this person, but it wasn't, I don't think there was anything like beyond like friendship, and this person just turned their back on him for no reason, and he was crying as he was saying this.
Hmm.
But this
Very
was probably
tough.
When he was in college. I think this was when he was in college. Yeah.
When he was 18, his dad, did he walk out of his life?
I'm sorry to say, you know, this was before I was saved, obviously. I left, and I mean, it was horrible. You know, it was horrible that I left. I mean, I apologized to my son many times.
Mm.
You know, I know God has forgiven me, but
yes.
divorce is such a hideous thing. I don't know how anybody can do it more than once.
Yeah.
You ruin so many lives. It's not just you and your husband.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I only have one son, and, you know, he's been... I mean, between us getting divorced and him being an only child, and then his aunt, who he was close to, she got a divorce, so she wasn't in his life, and then his mom died, and his pop died. It was like he has a lot of loss.
Do you think he's angry at you, Brenda?
You know, I asked him that.
Or was angry?
Oh, he was at one time very angry.
Sure.
Very angry.
At you?
Yes.
Okay.
For leaving?
The way it happened, the way I left, the way the situation that was surrounding my leaving,
yeah.
was very, very horrible.
Okay, so we must include that as part
of
the recipe.
I think, yeah, instead of focusing on the gay issue, you back up and you focus on all of these life issues.
Yes,
as the background.
Not because we think that's going to instantly change
no.
him, but because you need to have a relationship with him.
I know. I want to go to I'd like to say to him, Jeff, we can go to a counselor, and I want to tell you things about myself when you were a little baby. It could help him, you know.
And I want to understand your life and what you've been through and how
yes.
you felt.
But see, that was important right there. Brenda's mm-hmm. saying, I want to tell you stuff about me when you were a baby. Those are the formative years where a child
right.
is formed.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break and come right back.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Let's go right over here to Sharon from Orlando, Florida. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to New Life.
Hello. Thank you for your program. Don't know if this is a good word for it. It's a good addiction for me. I get all my paperwork and everything at my office and have that time to just sit and understand how people can have a freedom by just listening to your program. I do give when I could. And my question for you is anyone born without brokenness in their life?
Okay. When you say brokenness, what are you specifically referring to?
I am referring to addictions in my life, like abandonment and self-esteem. If everyone has to go back to their origin of being born, does everyone have brokenness in their life that has to be healed through generations?
Well, we all have this propensity to sin. We live in a fallen world, and the brokenness is going to vary from individual to individual depending on how they're raised and the environment and the way they're treated and their own wiring and how they respond to how they're treated. What do you think, Mylon? Is everybody born broken?
Well, sure. That is that,
so.
That we are sinners. We are broken because we're sons of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
There's a brokenness that is inherent, whether it is passed along through the genes and genetic. I have a broken flesh. I live under the curse. I have to die. I was made originally to be an eternal creature, you see. And so death is unnatural to us all still to this very day, the concept of having to die, of aging, all those kinds of things. But you see, Sharon brought up another word. She said abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
And an infant doesn't abandon themselves.
No.
You see, an infant is subject to the responsible care of a caregiver, a mom mm-hmm. and a dad. But so our first family of origin is Adam and Eve, and that causes damage. And then, like you said, Steve, different families inflict different levels of pain upon children, depending upon their sinfulness, their love for God, their own healthiness, or their own reactivity levels. So, Sharon, you know, the people who raised you helped to contribute to those pieces of abandonment that you didn't do that. Others did that to you. So we have sins of omission, sins of commission, things we do and things that people do to us.
There are no perfect parents.
No perfect parents. Only no. growing parents if they choose to grow.
Absolutely.
But that's not always common, is it, that people choose to grow?
Not everybody does.
No.
We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the fact that everybody has brokenness mm-hmm. in their life.
So every adult then, wouldn't you both agree, has to make a choice. Am I going to extricate myself from the consequences of the first family of origin, Adam and Eve, through the cross? And also my own family of origin, and what am I going to do there? What am I going to face it? Am I going to look at it and ask, what am I a product of? We're not here to bash parents. We're here to say, mm-hmm. what was the assembly line that produced me? And how did I come off the assembly line?
Right, and no matter how it happened to you as an adult, then it's your choice now to either dig in and do the work and gain healing and insight and growth, or to continue on the patterns.
Here's a book idea, Every Adult's Extrication. I don't think it would sell, but every adult has to go through that extrication that you were talking about.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about some things going on.
Every man's extrication battle.
Every man's battle, 2011, the last one is December 2 through 4. And if you know someone, you live with someone who has a sexual integrity problem, it'll change everything. If you will go to this intensive weekend, it's the last one. You start off 2012 fresh and clean and sober.
What's that date again?
2 through 4 of December.
December
2011.
2 through 4. Okay.
Okay. Then, Friday, we're going to do a program on boundaries. John and Henry, we rarely do the program together, all three of us. We're so busy. But we're together on Friday, and we have some free weekly tips that you can get at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you're thinking about a year-end gift, it would be great if you could do that sooner than later. We are in need, desperate need, of your support. So please, if you could, if it's within your ability, we need gifts of $100 and $200 and $1,000 and $10,000 and $100,000 because we have to pay for radio time. And you know what? That time, it goes up all the time. So we have to increase our support by about $7,000 a year just to stay even. But we've been given such grace and such a leniency, and now we're down to, we got behind in September. Everything, we were so ahead in August, and then we got behind in September, and now we're told either pay the $200,000 every month, and you know, we've got 4 days to raise this $200 now, or we have to take you off the air. And very specifically, Pittsburgh is the first one to go. So I hope and pray that if God is leading you, you would give. Now, if God isn't leading you, if God doesn't lead in a big way, and He has led some people to give in a big way, but if He doesn't, to where we can make this, then we're going to change what we do. We'll go off the air, and we will believe that that is what God wanted for us, that or God wanted somebody else on this airtime, or that we needed to make some changes we'd never dreamed of. Now, we've reduced our cost, or we're reducing our cost, by about $57,000 a month. But we still, of course, need more to make up the difference. So if God's leading you, please do it. If God isn't, then we're just going to deal with whatever the outcome is. And we're going to ask God to glorify Himself, because here's what we're looking for. How do we glorify God in this, and what does God want us to do? I mean, I'm asking myself, what does God want you to do? It's not just plow through and get a bunch of money raised and get over the hump and until next time. I don't think that's what God wants me to do right now. I think God wants me to surrender to Him and to see where He leads, even though it may be through the valley of the shadow of death or feel that way. I'm committed to going God's way and not powering my way and using my will. I want God's will. So I pray every day, God, what do you want me to do? Please tell me, what do you want me to do? Well, we're about out of time. Mylon, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Jill,
thank
you. And thanks to all of you who have given. It really means a lot to us that you want us to stay on the air, and I'm hoping and praying that others will come along. But if not, thanks for being our partner. And we're going to be right back here tomorrow. And so I hope and pray you'll join us for New Life Live. And in the meantime, have a great day, a great evening, and give somebody a big hug. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.